Hello, everyone. It is Video Game Fury. Hope you are doing well today. It is April 6, 2023. I am here for another edition of the Video Game Fury Show, where we talk about all stuff in gaming news and playthroughs here. Let's not waste any time and dive right into the show. It's quite impressive where we are today as far as the handheld market goes. A lot of us had speculated that we were going to see the death of the handhelds as a result of the rise of mobile gaming, with pretty much everyone in the world having a smartphone and smartphones being capable of producing pretty much same kind of graphical fidelity that you would have expected on an older system like, say, the PlayStation Vita or the Nintendo 3DS. A lot of people had said at the time that what's the point of having these consoles anymore, or these handhelds, when mobile gaming is just as successful and has a wider market compared to these other systems. And that's where a lot of people thought systems like that I just mentioned may have fell short. But yet here we are today in 2023, and systems like Nintendo Switch, all about 7 years running today, one of the most impressive selling consoles that has ever appeared in the industry. You also just saw last year the Steam Deck take a bite out of that handheld pie too. A lot of people wondered if that was going to do good for Valve, considering some of their other console manufacturing systems as too. But the system has turned out to be great for them as well, having your PC Steam backlog there accessible on the go anywhere you want proved to be a hit for a lot of folks that could have tried to get their hands on it at the time. Now it's more accessible than ever. So clearly handheld gaming is not out of the picture here. And then with the access of cloud gaming now, thanks to things like Xbox cloud going on, or xCloud, I should say, we're in an age where gaming anywhere is truly a thing to go. And even PlayStation at this time is as the remote play, where they can let you play through PS5 and any of your devices as well, as long as it's compatible with your device. So it's really odd to see, with the advent of handheld gaming going on, that a rumor popped up recently, and this is coming from Insider Gaming's Tom Henderson. He had reported that there's a new device with the codename Q-Lite coming from Sony that is basically going to act like, I don't know if you want to call it a cloud gaming device, but maybe it is, but it's really, from what he's described, is basically a device for PS5 remote play. I'll just read straight from the Kotaku article here what he's talking about here. It says, Tom Henderson reports that this new device is codenamed the Q-Lite. It won't work offline or like a traditional cloud gaming handheld. Instead, it will seemingly work exclusively with your existing PS5 to stream games remotely up to 1080p resolution at 60 frames per second. He also writes, early prototypes show the console will look a lot like the PlayStation 5 controller, but with a massive 8-inch LCD touchscreen in the center. The device will sport adaptive triggers for haptic feedback and will include what you would come to expect from a handheld: volume buttons, speakers, audio input jack, etc., so on and so forth, end quote. And, you know, again, it's all speculation at this point here. I mean, there's some corroboration also from Jeff Grubb, who's heard the same thing, although he kind of labeled it as more of possibly a cloud streaming handheld. But both have reached out Sony for comment, amongst other publications. They have not responded back. If this is true, it is going to be a very odd choice. Again, this is all speculation and just rumors and reports we're hearing, so we don't know anything yet because Sony hasn't confirmed. But, you know, you consider the fact that take a look at PlayStation's last few handheld devices. You had the PSP and you had the Vita, and nothing really came out from them as to why they closed those systems out. But it was pretty clear for them that handheld was not their best priority, even though a good handful of people, actually a lot more handful of people out there, if I'm being honest, really did appreciate those handheld devices. They were slick, very firm on the hands as you're grasping the controls. It was why a lot of people didn't understand why the Vita ultimately failed. But it's interesting to see that, if this is true, that they're working on a device that is strictly going to be for remote play, which is just a weird thing to think about, because guess what, guys? You know, remember I talked about earlier when we thought the smartphone was killing the handheld markets and was going to have all these capabilities. Guess what? It has the capability to do PS5 remote play. You can play on your phone and attach the PlayStation Backbone controller to it, or any, I think any controller that matter, but the PlayStation 1 came out recently from Backbone, and that basically becomes your remote gaming handheld. So why Sony is thinking that they need to have a dedicated device for remote play, and it's not even a cloud gaming device too. It's literally like you have to have, if you guys have not worked on remote play before, it's literally you have to have your PS5 on and you have to do that connection between the PS5 and the device that has remote play for it to work. It's very similar concept to what the Wii U was like back in the day. So this is a little disappointing if this is true. And I don't know if they feel like they're justified doing this because they don't want to directly compete with xCloud or any other cloud gaming services that are out there, since they are doing very well getting that out and rolling for a lot of folks. I've definitely tested xCloud before, and I really do appreciate it. There's something ultimately satisfying when I tested it. I was playing Destiny 2 on my MacBook, and it worked really good with the controller. I was actually really impressed how good the technology was. Maybe Sony feels like they can't compete in that market in terms of bandwidth space. Obviously, Microsoft has got the Azure cloud network, so they have the advantage of owning that stuff proprietary. But it's a little weird. It is a little weird that they are going for this here. And the speculations that Sony will be bringing this out, according to Tom Anderson, it will be out before the end of 2024. I don't know if they... It seems just odd to have another piece of hardware like this, especially at the current rate where we just got the PSVR 2 that launched a couple of months ago. Reports on that system have been saying that it's been not selling very well. I think even Sony had said that they actually reduced production of the system because they felt that they weren't going to, there wasn't really enough demand for it, so they reduced the manufacturing. So is it the right time to be doing this? I mean, they got so much in the pipeline, the rumors of the PS5 Pro, which is like their mid-gen refresh, like the PS4 Pro was, is supposedly rumored for next year too. It just feels like a lot to gamble on, especially when PS5 itself is selling so strong right now. It's like one of the most faster selling consoles of any generation. So to just go ahead and pursue another SKU and another line of hardware like this seems like it's jumping the gun and not really well thought out. And again, I will repeat this again, this is all just rumors and reports we're getting. We do not have official confirmation that this may be coming out there. Maybe they're going to talk about it in this rumored PlayStation showcase that's supposed to come out in June. We don't know. But if it all is true, it is pretty disappointing to think that this is all it's going to be for, when there's plenty of devices out there that already do the PS5 remote play anyway, most particularly the smartphones. So we'll see what Sony says if they confirm these rumors or not. But if it is true, definitely not the best direction for Sony to go forward. So we haven't talked about games that I've been playing lately, and there are quite a few games that I've been playing. I'm still playing currently. I probably have set myself in a bad position when it comes to finishing games, because a lot of the games that I'm playing right now are big open worlds, either action adventure games or RPGs. Right now I am juggling on my stream, which you can find at twitch.tv/videogamefury79 if you ever want to join on there for all the streaming fun. I've been playing Dying Light 1, fantastic time, about 60% way through the story, so I still got a little bit to go with some side activities, but that's been a fun romp. I'll talk about that when I get closer to finishing it. Skyrim, I've been playing a ton over the last few months. I've kind of put that on hold so I can wrap up Dying Light first, so that's been kind of on the back burner, but I played tons of hours of that game. Horizon Forbidden West is my off-stream game that I play on PS5. What more can you say about that? Beautiful-looking game. Always loved Aloy as a character and the world they've created, so this just expands on that, and it's been fun. I even gave it a shot at the Legend of Heroes, the Trails from the Sky games. I started the first one. I'm about 20 hours into that one. So that's been fun. I've been seeing a lot of people giving a lot of praise to the RPG series. They're calling it like the MCU of the RPGs, which is crazy to think about, that there's that kind of connective tissue. There's at least like seven games in that series including the Trails from Zero ones that I need to get to at some point. So that one's going to be a grind for a long time. I don't think I'll be completing that series anytime soon. So a lot to talk about there. So, and a lot, not really much I want to say right now in those games until I get closer or if I do end up beating them. What I really want to talk about right now is something that I probably should have talked about last episode at the time, but it just kind of eluded my mind in terms of things to play. But Diablo 4, the beta happened last week. Open beta for anybody. There was a beta before that just for the folks who pre-ordered. But they had an open beta for everybody in the weekend weekend after that one. And me getting a chance to do that was a fun time there to do. My Diablo experience, I will honestly admit, brutal honesty here, is I've never really played the Diablo games that much. I definitely played, probably the most experience I have is Diablo 3. I have it on the Switch, and I know that tends to be the one that, while some people liked it, it didn't feel like Diablo because it was much more colorful. It didn't have that kind of dark, creepy atmosphere that the first two games had. So I enjoyed it for what it was. I mean, obviously it had its controversy with the error launch that it had, and then the auction system that they ended up having to take it out because people were so mad at that. It was fun for its loot system and everything there, and it was a good time. Just the grind of it just, you know, kind of wore me off after a while. I do need to get back to the first. I want to get back to the first two because those are games I missed back from 20 years ago. So I know Diablo 2 put out a resurrected edition a couple of years ago. So I feel like in due time, if I get to play anything, because like I said, I'm playing so many open world games right now, I would like to go back to at least Diablo 2. I might try Diablo 1. I know it's a game for its time, but I think having that in my mind for lore purposes would be a good game to play. So we'll see about that playing on stream at some point. But let me get back to Diablo 4, because that is the beta we played. We played about, it wasn't long. I played about maybe 3 to 4 hours of the game. It was a really, really good time. Now, it is a beta, so anybody who walks into betas knows that you are accepting the fact that there's going to be lag, that there's going to be crashes, that there's going to be elements of the game that are either locked or just not working as well as is the case. That's the whole point of having betas in the first place, is to be able to do that. And then over the next couple of months up to launch, which the game is coming out in early June, to be able to squash those things, to have a polished, seamless experience. Definitely had those things right off the bat. There were the queue, of course. The queue wasn't as bad for me. I got in pretty well. I was playing it on the Sunday of the weekend, so I avoided the big crowds that were jumping in on that Friday and Saturday. So most of that happened. There was a lot of audio sync problems. Like, you know, during cutscenes, you would see like the closed captioning skip ahead and the audio would be like 5 seconds behind. So it made it very jarring to try and read that in tune with the closed captions. It kind of took away from the experience a little bit. There were definitely a few times being a connected game that it just stopped, couldn't click on anything, had to restart the game. So a couple times like that, unfortunately, took away from the experience too. Beyond that, though, it really did feel like Diablo going back to its roots. Very dark, very atmospheric, very uncomfortable in some of the cutscenes we saw. This game is all centered around a character named Lilith, who's been brought back into the world of Sanctuary. She's come to kind of reclaim her sanctuary, I guess. And you know, it's got the armies of heaven right on their doorstep as well. You play as one of your builds. I chose to be a rogue in this beta version here. And really good time. I always tend to like picking pretty swift, agile characters who can do a lot of quick damage with daggers and arrows and all that. So the rogue definitely was up my alley. I might go for the necromancer build come full release, because that one looks awesome from some of the streamers I watch playing that. Having an army of undead, that's something to sneeze at. But really, at the end of the day, this was a great... It's Diablo. It's big isometric open world action RPG fun. A lot of loot to collect, a lot of things to upgrade, skill trees, so many ways to customize your builds as you expand through the game. And, you know, I feel there was a lot to do as it was there. I got it to the point where you got, and, you know, forgive me again, I'm not well versed in Diablo lore, but I got to the main city after I got attacked by some of the villagers. I made my way over there, and it's when you get to that city, then the map like opens up. Like, now again, this is a beta, so they locked out a lot of things, but they still let you see the map, and it is a huge map. This is a game that people are going to be playing for literally hundreds of hours because of this open world formula that Blizzard has introduced to this game. So I'm really excited to see where that goes. But for now, the time that I played, really fun, really quick paced, really basically like a power fantasy trip at the end of the day, just really seeing you take on these swarms of enemies with your variety of attacks that you can customize into your slots is just fantastic. Really took me back recently to playing Final Fantasy 14 in a lot of ways. Obviously, Final Fantasy 14 is more action and turn-based than anything else, but still had some of those elements show in Diablo 4 that I really appreciated. It's going to be just a really fun time. I really love what I play with the beta, and again, as long as they can smooth out all the kinks and glitches and bugs that I experienced in my playthrough come this June, I think it's going to be a very, very smooth experience. It is definitely going to be a well-supported game with content and DLC and expansions and everything. Just a great time overall. A lot of streamers that I saw play shared a lot of the same sentiments. Story-wise, we'll have to see where it goes. It, you know, seemed pretty by the book in terms of what it was showing and how you're combating against Lilith and the armies of heaven, and how you're kind of stuck in the middle of this big war that basically those two sides don't care about you at all or any of the people there. So we'll see how it plays when it gets to that point when the game comes out in June. Really give this a shot. If you played the beta, I'd love to hear your guys' experience of it. Did you like it? Did you hate it? Were you indifferent? Is there other things about it, quirks or crannies or anything you think should improve the game? I'd love to hear your comments. I'll have a little bit of a poll up there on this podcast if you want to check it out on Spotify. And that is all I got for you guys for this week of Video Game Fury. Thank you so much for hanging out this week. Again, follow me on Twitter, VideoGameFury79. You can follow me here, download the podcast, send reviews if you want. So it definitely helps our name get up higher in the channel, in the categories. Really appreciate any feedback whatsoever here. And of course, again, on Twitch, if you want to follow me on the live streams, I am on twitch.tv/VideoGameFury79. We usually stream on Thursdays, Fridays, and Sundays, like around 4 p.m. Eastern, maybe a little later, depending on the work day going on. Thank you so much again for hanging out here on Video Game Fury. I will catch you guys next week for another episode of Fury. See you guys.